Looking for a new 1500 Silverado? Shop Beatty Chevrolet and get 2.9% APR for 72 months on a new 1500 Silverado. Or if you want a new vehicle and a Chevy Equinox LT fits your lifestyle, check out Beatty Chevrolet's lease option on a 24 Equinox for only $325 a month. And as always, buy with confidence with the Beatty Warranty for Life. Beatty Chevrolet on Parkside Drive. Online at BeattyChevrolet.com. Beatty Chevrolet, locally owned and operated for over 90 years.
Welcome to the show, Mike Griffith, who covers Georgia football in the SEC for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Mike, we appreciate the time, as always, and I guess one of the main storylines to follow, it's never going to go away, would be the transfer process in college football, and Jermaine Burton announced he's going from Georgia to Alabama. What have you thought seeing it unfold the way it has the last several weeks, especially since the season ended? What did you think with that news, Burton going from Georgia to Alabama, with those two teams having just played for the national title?
Yeah, I mean, it was to be expected. I mean, there was talk that Jermaine Burton was going to be in the transfer portal. He didn't get a whole lot of targets. One of the things that came out of Brock Bowers having 56 catches was that the leading receivers didn't get much work. So if you added up Georgia's number one and number two receiver, it would about equal Brock Bowers' workload. And receivers come to college to catch passes. And I recognize that, you know, that players don't get drafted off statistics, but, you know, Burton is an explosive receiver who came to play in a 4 and 5 receiver set, and obviously that's not the direction that Georgia ended up going. Alabama offers a lot of opportunities for receivers. Bryce Young, clearly the best returning quarterback in the country, so not a surprise to see him going to Alabama.
With JT Daniels entering the transfer portal last week, what does the return of the quarterback room for the national champions look like heading into spring practice?
You know, it's interesting because Georgia's been in the portal looking at Caleb Williams, among others. I'm not sure that they're in that game for Caleb Williams. I think he's been leveraging a lot of schools against USC for more NIL money. I don't think Georgia's really in the running. Not sure about Jack Stark, the former USC quarterback. He's been flirting with other schools, Ole Miss notably. Not sure that Georgia's going to get anybody out of the portal. We know they were looking. Stetson Bennett announced he's coming back, and, you know, that's created a stir in the Georgia fan base. Some people, you know, excited about that. Some people thinking maybe Stetson should have cashed in on the underdog story, and not sure how the other returning quarterbacks feel about that. You know, Carson Beck is a third-year quarterback out of Florida, won a state title there in the largest ranks, a former Alabama commit. And then you've got Brock Vandegrift. He was a 5-star. They flipped from Oklahoma to Georgia. He's kind of a local guy. This will be year two for Brock Vandegrift. And then they signed another guy that set a lot of Georgia high school passing records, broke some Trevor Lawrence and Deshaun Watson records, named Gunnar Stockton. All these quarterbacks are the sort of RPO sort of quarterbacks that would lead you to believe that Georgia's going to stay with that multiple tight end, lower pass ratio sort of game. I just don't think that bode well for recruiting receivers or keeping them happy. So as far as who's going to be the quarterback, it's a bit of a crapshoot. You know, Kirby leaves it open from week to week. At least he says he does. Not sure how Stetson Bennett figures in. Will he be the guy? Will he not be the guy? There's a long time between now and September 3rd when they play the Oregon Ducks in Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Mike Griffith is with us, AJC and DogNation.com. And I totally expected that there would be some split opinions. There probably are outside Georgia's fan base, but definitely inside it. But you weren't surprised, right, by his decision to play one more season at the school he grew up rooting for?
No, I wasn't. I mean, you know, you got to give Stetson credit. You know, former walk-on, for those that don't know the story, he was a walk-on in 2017, played scout team quarterback, left school, went to junior college in Mississippi 2018, came back. In 2019, they didn't have a backup for Jake Fromm after Justin Fields left, so he backed up Fromm in 2019. 2020, he was the 4-string quarterback going into camp, and then Newman leaves. JT Daniels wasn't ready at the start of the year. Dwan Mathis had some trouble against Arkansas, and he found himself the starter. So he's a guy who is he's a guy who's, you know, has a lot of toughness about him, a lot of determination, and then there's just this. Where else was he going to go? If he wants to play football, he doesn't have a Senior Bowl invite, and he's not a guy that's going to play in the NFL. He doesn't have those skills. And frankly, there's probably not another SEC school that would recruit him out of the portal because he doesn't fit their system. He does fit Georgia. Could he walk away or ride off into the sunset and, and, you know, cut an NIL deal to sign autographs and, you know, serve, you know, chicken at whatever the local restaurant is, probably. But he doesn't want to do that. He wants to keep playing football. That being the case, if he wants to keep playing football at this level, Georgia is really his only option.
Mike, when you look at a guy like Darnell Washington, you know, he obviously got a lot of playing time, very highly, you know, rated prospect coming out of high school. Of course, Tennessee was very close into that one. You know, what's his ceiling in this offense with Georgia? Of course, some rumors always about any player entering the transfer portal, but what's kind of the ceiling for a guy like Darnell Washington?
Well, I mean, he's an NFL player. I mean, there's no doubt about that. It's just what type of player will he be in the Georgia system? I mean, right now, Brock Bowers is that move guy. He's going to be that target guy, that George Kittle, right? Whereas Darnell's more of an inline tight end, more of that dual threat tight end. There's a lot of value to that, but he wants to catch touchdown passes. And I don't know how many targets he's going to get. Now, Darnell was injured at the start of this year. He missed the first four or five games with a foot injury. Kind of worked his way back, was never really 100%. And then once he was, he just didn't play a role where he was a primary target. So this is a guy who's been at Georgia 2 years. It's probably 50-50. If he's with Georgia at the start of the season, he'll probably stay through spring, I would guess, at this juncture. And then we'll see what happens, right? There's going to be opportunities for Darnell. Super talented guy, 6'7", 280. He's just a monster. He's why you didn't hear much about Will Anderson in the Alabama matchups, because guys like Darnell and Fitzpatrick and Georgia with those three tight ends, I mean, that really enables them to kind of neutralize those gifted pass rushers, you know, like the Aiden Hutchinson guy at Michigan who did nothing against him, and like Will, who was somewhat neutralized, especially in the second meeting.
Hey, Mike, what do you think, just in general, of how you've seen things play out with the transfer portal and schools? Some schools are being more aggressive than others. Lane Kiffin's getting involved. He's tweeting out a photo. Going somewhere, is it recruiting? Is it transfer? Who knows? But just thoughts as we're in the first, I guess, full off season of the transfer portal and NIL being involved.
I'd say a lot of unintended consequences, right? This is where we're at. This is, you know, as far as amateurism goes, it's dead. Where football is concerned, players want to get paid. People in courts deem that they should get paid, and this is what comes with it. Now, how do you build a structure around what amounts to free agency? How do you build a structure around NIL deals when the athletic departments aren't supposed to have any oversight over that? It kind of opens it up for the boosters to do whatever they want. I mean, theoretically, you know, Tennessee could have three of their most prominent boosters put together an LLC, dump $20 or $30 million in there and say, okay, how do we want to disperse this for NIL deals? It's almost like it's created a whole nother business. It certainly has created a whole nother model for success, because we know that getting players is ultimately the most important thing. You've got to have talent. And so now how do you go about it? And so what used to be the arms race for facilities has now turned into the arms race for who can build the best and most efficient business model for securing NIL deals, because that's ultimately what's going to lure players to your university, even though theoretically NIL money is not supposed to be used as an inducement. We all know that it does. So it's created a whole nother level of strata. It's the wild, wild west right now. Bill O'Brien said it's like NFL free agency, only without any rules. I think if you're a Tennessee fan, you probably like that, because this is going to enable Josh Heupel and the Vols to catch up quickly. Instead of having to wait two or three recruiting cycles, you can rebuild quickly, as we saw Heupel do this last year, where they had 38 guys leave, and they still had one of the most dynamic offenses, I thought, in the SEC. So it's good news for the teams that have a lot of money and that want to rebuild quickly, and probably bad news for some of the teams that don't have a lot of money and have tried to do it the old-fashioned way.
Hey, one more we'll let you go here, Mike. What's the interest level in Arch Manning's recruitment? How involved is Georgia there? Of course, the nephew of Peyton Manning, Cooper's son, one of the top prospects in the country.
Yeah, they're incredibly involved. I mean, you know, Kirby, you know, that's the number one priority from what I can tell. Again, I'm not a recruiting expert, but, you know, Georgia brought half their offensive staff there. I saw Nick Saban did that last week, but Georgia had, you know, the OC there. Matt Luke was there. Kirby's there watching him in a basketball. That's a lot of manpower hours, right, to go watch a kid play basketball. That's a big commitment of time. You know, obviously the Mannings aren't lacking for money, but certainly, you know, Kirby would love to get this guy. You know, he likes Georgia. The kid likes Georgia. Todd Monken and Peyton Manning I think they get along pretty well. I think that they're, you know, pretty much two of the best offensive minds that are out there. I'm not sure where Arch will land. I don't pretend to be a recruiting expert, but you know, Kirby's been pretty effective getting who he wants. I'll say this: it's worth keeping an eye on how the Georgia offense looks and what they decide to do. And then you ask yourself, well, what would, in a perfect world, Arch Manning want to run on offense? What type of offense would he want to run? Would he want to run pro style? Would he want to run 4 or 5 wides? You know, there's all sorts of factors that go into this, but you certainly know this will be one of the most carefully managed situations out there. If anybody that hadn't read Jimmy Hines' book, you know, Jimmy did a great book, and, you know, he'll be the first to tell you that everything the Mannings do are extremely calculated, and you can bet Arch Manning will have those sort of fingerprints all over his recruitment.
Mike Griffith, the offseason is here, which means there's even more to cover than during the season, I think. DogNation.com.
Is that what this is, Josh? Is this the offseason? Because this doesn't feel like the offseason to me, Josh. I'm still waiting for basketball. At Georgia, I don't know if basketball will start at Georgia. This doesn't feel like the offseason, Josh.
No, I know. It's a new world, but 12 months a year. I don't know if you get vacation time, but you're not going to have any time to use it.
Well, I'm in Knoxville, and that's like a vacation. So getting some business taken care of.
Here
if
right
I didn't
now.
Know where you guys were at, I'd driven right over there. No, this is great.
Oh, yeah, we should have to come by, yeah.
This is a whole – but this free agency period, and it's really driving fans nuts because they love these kids, and now do you still love them? Do you not love them? You can just tell that it's really hurting the fan bases. They're learning how to deal with this.
Well, they love those who come in, and they start to hate those who decide to leave. But it's a new college football world, and we better get ready to cover it. Mike, we appreciate the time. Enjoy your time here in Knoxville, and we'll catch up with you again next week.
All right. Appreciate it, Josh.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.